We have prayed for awakening in this church for many, many years. And God can do it. God has, in fact, brought spiritual awakening, revival, renewal to his church over the years. Now, he tends not to simply zap renewal into people. He tends to use means of grace by which he brings renewal. We're going to have a series on the means of grace and our engagement in those over the fall semester. So turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 1, a new series we're calling the Christian's Toolbox, the nuts and bolts of spiritual development. A series on the spiritual disciplines, means of grace, the means of receiving in deeper fashion the resurrected life of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Habits of the heart that put us in a place where we're able to receive grace from Christ in deeper measure. Stephen Covey has written a book called The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Habit number 7 is called personal renewal. In his introduction to that chapter, he tells the story of a traveler in the woods who happens upon an owner of a cabin that is cutting down trees around his house. The guy looks like he's been at it for a long time, sweat just pouring off of him. He's filthy. He's laboring, agonizing to cut down this tree with this saw. And the traveler says, "How long have you been at this?" And the guy said, "5 hours, and I am beat. I'm exhausted." The traveler says, "You look exhausted. When's the last time you sharpened that saw?" And the one who was cutting down the tree said, "Look at all these trees. I'm too busy. I don't have time to sharpen my saw." That is so often the response of Christians when it comes to tools of the Christian toolbox, when it comes to spiritual disciplines that are meant to bring new life into our souls, when it comes to the means of grace by which we're able to drink deeply of the life of Christ. We look around exhausted and we tell people we're too busy for the means of grace. No means of grace is more critical to the Christian's health than daily Bible intake. In Ephesians 6, Paul calls the Word of God the sword of the Spirit. We need to learn to take time to sharpen our swords so that we walk more effectively through this battlefield we call fallen earth. Let's all stand out of reverence for the Word of God and follow along as I read Psalm 1. This is the Word of God. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." May God bless the hearing and teaching of his inspired, infallible, inerrant, and authoritative word. Let's pray together. Father, please, please, please pour out your Spirit and help these folk know that this is not a time to cover ourselves up with guilt and shame and feelings of self-condemnation over our failures in the means of grace, particularly spending time in the Word. God, that voice would be the evil one. That voice would be filled with discouragement. That voice would actually sap our strength. So God, help people hear the voice today of a father looking into their eyes saying, come on, come on, there's more for you. I have more in store for you. Follow me. Come on. I want you to see what's here. God, that we would hear your encouraging voice calling us to more. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Now, I want this series to be incredibly practical. It is going to be filled every week with practical how-tos. However, if your past, like mine, was filled with legalism or performance-oriented spirituality, I need us all to pause right here at the start and gain a fresh perspective of the gospel. As believers in Christ, we engage in the spiritual disciplines from a point of acceptance, not for acceptance. You and I spending time in the Word of God is not going to do one thing to move the heart of God towards you in deeper love. He cannot love you any more than he already does based on your union with Christ, based on the perfect obedience of Christ and his substitutionary death. So your spending time with God, reading the scriptures, does not cause God to love you more than he already does. However, don't think for a moment that spending time with God is unimportant. The spiritual disciplines come with all kinds of benefits. So this morning, briefly, five principles related to Bible intake that will help us sharpen our swords. And I'm using sword as an acrostic this morning. The points will follow, S-W-O-R-D. Hopefully you'll be able to remember this and take this with you. S, steep in the Word. You know what steeping is? You get out a glass of boiling water, you take a tea bag, and you steep it in there. And however long that tea bag is in there, it colors the water and the tea gets stronger. I'm a guy that likes bold, strong tea. I can't stand when people get out a tea bag and go boop. And yet that is precisely how many believers approach their time in the Word of God. First of all, so many Christians don't even spend time in the Word on a daily basis. And then a lot of us have a little devotional. Not that there's anything wrong with those things. A little devotional that's got one verse of Scripture and a paragraph of thoughts. It lasts about 4 minutes. You tick it off the list and you're done. That is like taking a tea bag and going, boop. And what you end up with is colored water. And that's what a lot of people see in our lives. We're not offering bold, dark tea of life. We're offering bland, colored, warm water. And God wants our hearts to overflow with rivers of living water. And that won't happen. Look what it says in verse 2. On his law, the godly person meditates day and night. Imagine what it would be like to get out a teapot filled with boiling water and just put those tea bags in there. Actually, I've done this. Cover it up at about 10 o'clock at night, and then the next morning you pull those babies out. Now that's some tea. Put in about 5 or 6 cups of sugar, and we're ready to go. Instant energy. Listen, that is what the Word of God is to do in our souls. We need to be in a position where the spiritual teabag of the Word of God is touching the water of our souls. And it's steeping. We're meditating day and night. That word meditate means to talk to yourself. You ever had some calculations you've had to do and there's a lot going on around you and you can't just sort of think in your head, so you start saying, well, let's see, 22, carry the 4, you gotta, 86! Okay? That is exactly the word in the Hebrew for meditate. It means muttering to yourself. It means to take the scripture and to begin to have a discussion with yourself and God about what you're reading. What does this mean, Lord? How does this apply to my life? How can I act upon this? What do I need to believe about you as a result of this? You know, the technology is available with making tea these days. You go into Moe's or I don't know, McAllister's, they have these big pots, and just like you make coffee, the water just runs right through it, and it's ready. I mean, it's almost instantaneous. It's a great invention. But guess what? They don't have that invention for people as regards the Word of God. There's no substitute for T-I-M-E, time. And if we are rushing through our devotionals, simply seeking to tick off a to-do list item, we are not going to have the scriptures steeped in our souls. One practical way to think about this, think about your hand, the five fingers of your hand, the ways that you can have the word steep in your life. Here, read, memorize, meditate, study. Hear, read, memorize, meditate, study. You know, if you try to use a screwdriver with two fingers, it's not going to work. You try to hammer with a couple fingers, it's not going to work. You try to saw with two fingers, it's not going to work. Neither is it going to work to take out the tool of the Word of God from your toolbox and try to use one finger. Just hearing, going to church and hearing the word. That's better than nothing, but you're not going to get much out of it. We need to use all five hands and grasp the word of God. All five fingers on our hand. Let the word of God steep in your soul. W, waltz. We talk in this church about waltzing with Jesus Christ. The waltz is a three-step dance. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Repent, believe, fight. One of the ways you can steep in the word or have the word steep in your soul is by waltzing through the word. There's a contrast throughout this whole psalm between the righteous and the wicked. The blessed man and the man who is not blessed. And in these contrasts, you see the blessed man waltzing in the word. You see the wicked man walking in the way of sinners, standing in the way of the wicked, sitting in the seat of scoffers. By the way, think about that. Counsel, those are your thoughts. Ways, those are your behaviors. Scoffing has to do with your attitude. The Word of God affects every arena of our life. Our thoughts, our emotions, our attitudes, our actions. And so as we come to the Scriptures, one of the ways we steep is by waltzing. Now, I hope every single one of you received a sermon outline this morning when you walked in. If you did not, you need to get one as you leave this morning. Because on the back of your sermon notes, I actually have my thoughts on how I waltz through the Word. There's a whole list of questions to bring to the text concerning repentance. Is the Spirit exposing a wrong behavior through the passage that I need to confess? Is the Spirit exposing a heart attitude through the text that I need to repent of? Is there something wrong that I've thought, said, or done that is revealed by the text? All of these questions related to repentance. How we, in fact, can at times sit in the seat of scoffers. How at times we can walk in the way of sinners. But the law of the Lord doesn't really expose our sin. And waltzing isn't just the repent step. The law of the Lord is the covenant of grace. And to meditate day and night on the covenant of grace is to spend time believing what God's word says about Jesus Christ and the gospel. So that leads to the belief step. Is there some element of the work of Christ that is revealed in the text that I must believe? Is there a present power of the blood of Christ revealed that I need to apply? Is there a promise of God related to the gospel I need to appropriate? And on and on. Listen, if you would just ask these questions of every text, you would have no trouble seeing the word of God steep in your soul. But the law of God doesn't really expose us, and it doesn't merely encourage us. The word of God also equips us. And the waltz is a three-step. There is repentance. There is fresh faith to take on and believe God's word and the gospel. And there are things to do. To meditate day and night on the law of the Lord is, in fact, to reflect upon what God has called us to do through Scripture. So there is the fight step. After appropriating the power of the blood, is there a command I need to obey? Is there a prohibition I need to heed? Is there a means of grace or a spiritual discipline I need to engage in? Keep this sermon outline in your Bibles. First, for the purpose of understanding the sword, the acrostic, and then secondly, you can use this waltzing through the word. I would love to see it. Look, I don't care. Come up with another paradigm if it works better for you. But I would love to see these in every one of our Bibles so that you would have a constant tool to allow the word to be steeped in your lives. Then thirdly, the O stands for order. Order your priorities. Organize your time. Order your Bible intake. I've said it again. I'll say it once more this morning. When it comes to Bible intake, when it comes to daily devotions, if you fail to plan, then you might as well plan on failing. I've seen it over and over and over and over and over. Well-meaning people who say, Bob, I want to spend more time in the Word. If you fail to plan, then plan on failing. You've got to be able to order your life, to organize your priorities so that you spend time that is significant, steep time, waltzing time in the Word. So let me give you some suggestions. Look again at verse 2. On his law he meditates day and night, continually, a lot. So how do you meditate day and night? You need a plan. Now Jesus started a plan by doing the same thing every day. Mark 1, verse 35, while it was very early, still dark, he left everybody else, went to a solitary place, and met with his Father. We can learn some principles from that passage. First of all, pick your time. Okay, right now, I want you to think, what's the best time of the day for you? What's the best time of the day for you? Just pick it in your brain. Why wouldn't God get the best time of the day? Okay, the first fruits in the Old Testament, they brought the first fruits. They brought the first fruits of the land. They brought the best of the land. Why wouldn't we give God the best time of our day? What's the best time of your day? Give it to God. What time is it? For me, it actually is early, before anyone else is up. Dark. It's solitary. I'm by myself. It may not be that for you. But pick a time. I mean, right now in your outlines, right now, this is the time I will do this, and write it down. There is power in following through, men and women. This is the time I will do this. Write it down. And then pick a place. Jesus was in a solitary place. You got to pick a place that is consistent. It's got to be almost every day the same place. Free from distractions, turn off the phone, away from electronics, away from other people. Okay, write it down. This is the place I will do this. Write it down. Duration. How long are you going to spend with God on a daily basis? Now listen, if you're not spending 5 minutes with God, but one day a week now, then please don't write down you're going to spend 30 minutes with God every single day for the next month. Be realistic. Listen, if you're spending 5 minutes two times a week now, maybe put down 10 minutes 5 days a week as your goal. What's your duration? Now, again, please, I'm not putting the law on you. Me personally, I couldn't spend quality time with God in less than 30 minutes. I just couldn't do it. For me to waltz through the Word, for me to really, as we're going to get in a moment, talk about being relational, I couldn't do it in less than 30 minutes. So between 10 minutes and 30 minutes, what is going to be the duration of time you spend with the Lord starting tomorrow? Write it down. I will spend this many minutes with God, reading His Word, at this place, at this time. And now I want you to commit yourself. If you have your sheets, I actually want you to write it down. Sign your name. I will do this. Now, why am I doing this? Am I kissing grace goodbye? No. I'm actually embracing grace more. Relationship allows commitment to be powerful. I'm going to tell it myself. I got a text from our youngest son, Michael, on Wednesday. And he's still thinking a lot about getting hit by a car in October. And he says, I don't know what the person was doing, Dad, but I wonder if they were texting. Now, you need to know that in the past, I have had a bad habit of texting while driving. And Michael knows that. And he said, Dad, I love you. I do not want you to have an accident. Please tell me you will no longer text and drive. He said, the other thing is, I don't want anybody else to go through what I've gone through. And I would hate it, first of all, for that person. And secondly, I would hate for you to have to live with hitting somebody. Please don't text and drive. Now, here's the thing. Now, it's a law. Okay? The law has a place. The law means something. But love means everything. And so the other day, as I'm driving down the road, and the reason why I used to text so much is I am about as ADD as they come. And so I have literally, my brain operates at like 8,000 RPMs, and I've got 4,000 thoughts every 2 minutes coming through my brain. And most of them I actually like. And yet I have no way of capturing all of them. So my old ways, my bad habits, was I would text somebody an idea or text myself a reminder. So the other day I was tempted to do that. And I caught myself. And I said, I promised Michael I wouldn't do that. And guess what? It worked. Law means something. Love means everything. So as I take you through time, place, duration, commitment, don't go, oh, Bob's going performance on us. I'm breaking out in a cold sweat. I feel like he's telling me to do something. I feel like that's legalism. I'm sorry for being sarcastic. Actually, I'm really not, but I want to make sure you hear my heart through the sarcasm, okay? Look, you're not on planet performance anymore. Get over it. You know, if you come to this church, God is not going to love you more if you spend time in the Word. This is all about us being in a place where the showers of grace are falling in deluge form. And us simply opening our lives, taking down the umbrella in order to receive the rain that is falling. Order your life for time in the Word. And then R, relate. Verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord. It's the Lord's law. The law reveals God's heart. The law is an opportunity to engage in fellowship and relationship with the God of the universe. Listen to me. Reading the Bible is not a memo from a CEO concerning some to-do item for you to check off your list. Reading the Bible is not some order from a general calling forth the duty of foot soldiers. Reading the Bible is not some lesson plan from a university professor giving assignments that will increase your head knowledge. Reading the Bible is an invitation from a father longing to spend time with his son or daughter. You see, the Bible is not primarily an instruction manual. The Bible is not a how-to book or a philosophy book on behavioral change. The Bible is a love letter from God. Look at verse 6. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. Now, that's not, he knows who, what you've been doing. He knows whether you've been good or bad. He knows when you've been neither naughty or nice. So you better be good for goodness sake. No. That word knows means intimate with. The Lord is intimate with the way of the righteous. The way we increase in intimacy with our spouses is to increase communication. The way we increase relationship with our children is to increase communication. And the way we increase in intimacy with God is to increase communication. To read the Word, to receive His love letter to us, and for us to respond to that love letter. Do you realize that the average adult in this country spends 6 hours a week shopping? The average adult in this country spends 30 hours a week watching television. The average adult in this country spends less than 30 minutes a day talking with their children. The average American father spends less than 30 minutes a week talking with his children. The average American Christian doesn't spend much time hearing a father who really wants to talk. Will we spend time with God who longs to build relationship with us as His children? And then lastly, delight. The D. Verse 2, His delight is in the law of the Lord. This is a very graphic word. It's actually the word used for the romance between a man and a woman. It means truly to be in love with, romantically. I think so many of us look at the word as castor oil. It's essential, but it's not very delightful. Let me encourage you to do something. Psalm 119 is a psalm, it's the longest psalm in the Bible. It's like 176 verses. But it's broken down into stanzas of about 5 or 6 verses each. And each one of the verses extols and exalts the beauty of the Word of God. If you're struggling to have delight in God's Word, let me encourage you as an exercise that you engage in on a daily basis. This will take 3 or 4 minutes probably. Read a stanza of Psalm 119 every day and pray that God would give you a delight. That word delight again means to take great pleasure in. It means to find incredibly attractive. The Word of God needs to be attractive to our hearts, or we're not going to spend time in it. Look, you're not going to spend time in the Word because someone tells you to. Why do we do what we do? We do what we do because we want to. So listen, can I just be Pastor Straight Shooter here this morning? There is only one reason why you're not spending time with God and His Word on a daily basis. You don't want to. Let's cut through all the games. Let's cut through all the excuses. The only reason you and I don't spend regular relational time in the Word of God is because we don't want to. I don't care what your words say. I don't care what you say you desire. You do what you want to do. Listen, if people want to be at the ball game this week, they're going to find a way. Well, I don't have time. I got too much work to do. There's too many things going on around the house. No. Listen, if people want to be at the ball game, they're going to be there. People want to hunt. I'll find a way to get out there and hunt. I'll find a way to play that golf game. I'll find a way to take that trip. Listen, you find the time to do what you want to do, and so do I. And so the issue really is a want-to problem. The issue really is a delight problem. And as a result, there are huge hunger problems in our world today. We have world hunger problems related to physical sustenance. But the church has world hunger problems related to spiritual sustenance. You know, there's 870 million people suffering from hunger in our world. 1 out of 8 don't get the food they need to lead healthy lives. Lack of nutrition leads to emotional problems, focus issues, sickness. And hunger's a self-perpetuating problem. Because people who are hungry don't then perform well at work, and therefore they often can't keep jobs. And as a result of losing jobs, they lose the opportunity to buy food. And without food, they have poor performance, emotional issues, and it goes on and on. The spiritual problem is perpetuating as well. If you don't spend time in God's Word, your heart's not renewed. If your heart's not renewed, you end up looking for relief in worldly things. When you look for relief in worldly things, you tend to not want to be in the Word. And so it's a self-perpetuating problem. Now here's the kicker about world hunger. It's not a supply issue. We have more than enough food produced in this country to feed every human being on the planet. What we have is a problem of people actually engaging in consumption. Now, there's lots of reasons for that on the physical side. There's political problems, there's national problems, there's conflict. But what's the problem on the spiritual side? We have all the food we need. It's not an availability problem. It is a consumption problem. Issue. You know, 85% of American households have at least one Bible. Most American households have 4 Bibles. And yet, over 33% of Americans read the Bible less than 1 time a year. Why? They don't have time. That's what the number one response is. Doesn't that sound familiar? A guy in the woods, exhausted, sawing down trees, and the person says, "Why don't you take a break and sharpen the saw?" And the response, "I just don't have time. I'm too busy." Let's pray. for our reflection time, I just want you to think. When, on a daily basis, can you have your devotional time? And by the way, there's probably something already scheduled during that time. How important is it to you to sharpen the saw? How important is it to sharpen your sword? When are you going to have your quiet time? Where are you going to have it? Nail that down in this time of prayer. Where are you going to have it? How much time are you going to spend with God on a daily basis this week? What's your plan? What are you going to read? Google it. There are so many opportunities for devotional plans, you won't believe it. And then who can you share this with today? Who are you going to talk to today about this commitment you're making?